For I am your good shepherd. You shall not want, for I will care for you. My eye watches over your land. I will send the rain and cause it to produce for you. I want to draw you close to me, anoint your head with oil, and have your cup run over. I want you to get into the overflow, for out of the overflow you will grow. Out of the overflow, you will say, oh, oh, here is the Lord. He is high and lifted up, and his train is filling this temple. A little bit longer drive, and as I was praying, these words came out. The profitability of godliness. Amen? Did you know that godliness is profitable? And so that's what we want to talk to you about tonight. Profitability of godliness. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Did you know that God wants you to succeed? He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to profit. He wants the best for you. Anything that God does for you, he does it for the best of you. Right? Because he's your loving father. He's a good God. He's kind and compassionate. And he really does want the best for us. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says this in verse 8. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. For bodily exercise profits a little. Hey, it's good to exercise because you get a little benefit out of it, right? It'll help you a little bit, but did you know that exercise is limited to this lifetime? But there's something that will benefit you more. There's something that will bring a greater advantage to you. Notice what he said. But godliness is profitable unto how many things? All things. Having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Amen? So, godliness will not only benefit you in this life, but it will benefit you into eternity. So, when we are godly, and we're going to get into what that means, but say this with me, say, godliness is profitable in all things. Isn't it good to make a profit? Would you agree that a profit is better than a loss? Right? Profit means increase. When a business has a profit, that means they took in more money than what they spent on expenses. And what's left over is profit. And if you own the business, you get the profit. Right? So that is a powerful statement. Godliness is profitable in all things. Godliness will help your family. Godliness will help your relationships. Godliness will help your employee-employer relationship. Godliness will help you find the right career. Is it not profitable in all things? Right? There's not one area of life that godliness won't help you in, won't benefit you in, won't give you the advantage. It's profitable in all things. Okay? Now, the world, you may have heard this phrase, nice guys finish last. That is not from the Bible. Jesus was the nicest guy and he is at the highest place. He did not finish last. He's the firstborn from the dead. So, the New Living Translation says it this way. Physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is much more important. For it promises a reward in both this life and the next. If you had a choice between having big muscles or big faith, what would you choose? Big faith. Big faith will last you longer. Because eventually, all the work that you put in to get those muscles, something's going to shift in those muscles. Gravity is going to start to work on those muscles. Oh, yeah. See, if you want to work out, working out is good. I'm not against working out. I just don't do it as much. And I understand I should be doing it more. It's so much easier putting on the weight than it is taking it off. Why can't that be reversed? The New American Standard says it this way. Bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things since it holds promise for the present life and also the life to come. So would you say that godliness is important? And here's the beauty of it. All of us are capable and able to be godly. You don't believe me. Through Jesus Christ, he made it possible for us to be like him, to think like him, to talk like him, to act like him, and to live like him. We can be godly. Oh, but you don't know my past. Doesn't matter. I know the blood. The blood can wipe away your past and give you a brand new you. The word profitable is the word ophelios, and it means helpful, serviceable, advantageous. It means gain. And the word godliness is the word eusebia. Did you know it's all Greek to me? I'm not a Greek scholar, but thank God for tools. Strong is a Greek scholar. And the word for godliness means holiness. It means well-reverent. It means devout. It means good or well. How many of you have rollover minutes with your cell phone plan? Like if you don't use, I mean, it's not so much popular now. Maybe a few years ago it was popular to have rollover minutes. You have these extra minutes that you didn't use and it rolls over to the next month. Did you know what? Godliness is like the rollover plan. It will roll over. It will carry over into eternity. It's got a rollover plan. Godliness is thinking, acting, speaking, and living like Christ lived. And we do it through faith in him. Okay? Godliness is, it involves knowing God, having affection for God, being dependent on God, submitting to God, being thankful to God, and being obedient to God. You don't need more knowledge to be more godly. You need more obedience to be more godly. You got to obey what you know. You want to be more godly? It's not about getting more scriptures. It's about doing what the scriptures say. It's more about doing than it is about knowing. Godliness is this is what the Unger's Bible Dictionary says. Godliness is the sum of religious virtues and duties, bringing its possessor blessedness for the present life and also for the life to come. Godliness is character. Godliness is conduct determined by how we love God. It's how we live based on how we love God. Right? It involves the fear of God, not being afraid of God, but having respect and reverence for God. Godliness involves the reality and the power of a vital union with God. Godliness is not without power. Godliness has some oomph to it. It has some power behind it. When Christ walked on this earth, did he have power? Did he transfer did he give his disciples the ability to use the power that he had? Absolutely. He told his disciples, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out devils, freely you receive, freely give. So he gave them the same power to do what he did. If Christ gave his disciples the same power to do what he did, he also gave them the same power to live how he lived. We can live like Jesus lived. How'd you like to know that you never have to have a down day anymore? Doesn't matter what side of the bed you get up on or what condition your hair is in when you wake up. If you choose to have a down day, you can have a down day. But if you choose not to have a down day, you don't have to have a down day. Did you know that godliness is manifested a lot in your attitude? And your attitude will determine your altitude. Right? Joseph displayed a good attitude while he was in Egypt. How do we know? Because God hung out with him. God was with him. God will not hang out with people with bad attitudes. So we know that Joseph had a good attitude. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And let's look at verses 3 through 7. Godliness is going to produce four things in a believer. All right? We may touch on these four things, but then we're going to look at qualities of being godly. What does it mean? How does that translate into everyday living? Okay? You know, it's great to talk about these terms, but how can we apply them to our lives? That's what we really need to know, right? So we're going to look at that. How does godliness translate into everyday living? We're going to look at those characteristics. But 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting with verse 3, says this, "As I besought you to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Did you know that if you're not careful, the devil will try to interject a doctrine that's not from God? And there were people that were teaching another doctrine, so he was going to send Timothy there to set them straight. Verse 4, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies." Don't let your preaching be a wives' tale. You know, some people believe things that aren't even scriptural. If you want to have firm faith, what does it have to be based on? The Word of God. It can't be based on anything else. It can't be based on hearsay. Well, this is what she said. Doesn't matter what she said. It's what she said is what he said. If they're the same, then that's okay. But if they're different, then that's a problem. Don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Now, verse 5, here's the four things that godliness will produce. Now, the end of the commandment is number 1, charity. Godliness will work in you a love for God and a love for people. It'll work in you love. Okay? To be godly is number 1, to love. To love God and to love people. We're going to talk about that a little bit. I'll give you the four things. Number 2, the second thing is, godliness will produce a pure heart. How many know there's power in purity? Keeping yourself pure. You'd rather drink pure water than contaminated water, right? Third thing that godliness will produce in you is a good conscience. You have a good conscience. That's that side of you that tells you what's right and what's wrong. Some people listen to that voice. Some people don't. And how many, the less we listen to our conscience, the harder it is to hear. And then the harder it is that becomes to know the difference between what's right and what's wrong. All right? And the fourth thing that godliness will produce is faith unfeigned, or sincere faith, genuine faith, real faith. A person who's godly is a person who has faith in Jesus Christ, and their faith produces results. Okay? And then the fifth thing that godliness will produce, it'll produce an ability to live like Jesus lived. So five things godliness will produce. Are you ready to look at these things? Are you ready to become godly? To delve into this deeper. All right? So let's look at this first thing here. Godliness will produce love. I want you to go to chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And let's go down to verse 28. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? What's the number one commandment? And Jesus answered him. Does Jesus have authority? Does Jesus know what he's talking about? Is this good doctrine? Okay. He says, Jesus asked him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Everybody say with all. And with all your strength. This is the first commandment, all right? So when we're walking in godliness, it first reflects in our love for God. You get turned on to Jesus. You fall in love with God. You love Him. He's one God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You love Him. He becomes the most important person in your life. When you're in godliness, He is the highest priority. He is first in everything. He's first in your time. He's first in your talents. And He's first in your treasure. You love God. Jesus said that's the greatest commandment, to love God. Okay? And we show our love for God by how we behave with God's things and with God's people. So, right now, tonight, you are demonstrating that you love God because you're here. You're here listening to the Word. You're here gathered together. Maybe you probably could have been in a lot of other places, But you made a decision to be here. Or maybe the decision was made for you. But however you got here, you're here. Amen? This is important. Is this God's work? Absolutely. Is God here? Absolutely. All right? Then he said, verse 31, the second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. These are the greatest commandments, too. I love Jesus. Listen, godliness makes it simple, not complex. When you're walking in godliness, godliness will be profitable to you when you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. When you're doing those two things, you are acting like God. God is love. He is love. He first loved us. The reason he gave us Jesus was because he loves us. God doesn't just say he loves us. He shows it. You can't just say you love God. You got to show it. You got to demonstrate it. Amen? Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we'll look at verse 9 and 10. He gives us some instruction on how to love. He said, let love be without dissimulation. Now, we don't use that word dissimulation. That word is the word for hypocrisy. A hypocrite is a play actor. They're playing a part, but they don't really mean it. They don't really live it. They're just playing a part. But he's telling us love needs to be without hypocrisy. Love needs to be real. Love needs to be genuine. When we godliness to be profitable, you got to genuinely love. And the only way that we can do that is when God, he will flood our heart. The Bible says the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. Have you ever seen a painter that, you know, you just splash paint on a canvas? That's what God's love does. He just splashes his love on you. And it splatters everywhere. God's love was meant to splatter. It was meant to get on everything. It was meant to affect anybody close to that canvas. If you're standing close to that canvas, you're going to be showered with the love of God. Because God's going to splatter his love on you. But then we have to let love be without hypocrisy. Your words, how do we let love be without hypocrisy? Let your words and your actions be the same. Okay? Abhor that which is evil. Listen, there is evil. There's evil in this world. We need to abhor it. Don't pet evil. Come on, no, abhor it. Cleave to that which is good. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, preferring one another. See, when you're walking in godliness, self takes a back seat. And others become your focus. Self gets out of the picture. Go to Romans 13, 10 and 11. Romans 13, 10. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Whoa. Who's your neighbor? It's not talking about the person living next to you. It's talking about anyone you encounter. How does Jesus know that we're treating him right? Because we're treating the least like we would treat Jesus. If you've done it to the least of me, Jesus said, you've done it unto me. So Godliness is profitable, and it will produce love in us. And that love will work no ill to its neighbor. Love doesn't gossip. Love doesn't backbite. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is a firm foundation. He told the Corinthian church, he said, follow love and then pursue the spiritual gifts. But too many people want to pursue the gifts without pursuing the love. No, you got to follow after love, then pursue the gifts. Because the gifts aren't really going to work like they should without love. Okay? 1 Peter 4:8, love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't expose faults. You know what? If you're going to start exposing faults, we all have faults. You open up a can of worms there. I mean, if you're going to talk about someone else's fault, someone else will talk about your faults. So let's not just talk about the fault. Let's just cover them. All right? But this is profitable to us. It will produce love. You don't have to turn there, but 1:7, it's talking about adding things to faith, and in that list is godliness, and in that list is love. Those are all things that will help make your faith effective, quick, and powerful. But you got to add those things to your faith. Okay? Love is the evidence of a true disciple. Love, you got to look at this one. 1 John 3:14. Look at this one. This is powerful. And then we'll go to the next one. 1 John 3:14. This will make you shout. We know. Everybody say, we know. That we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. How do you know? Let me see some evidence that you've passed from death to life. It's because of the love that you're showing to the brethren. That's the evidence of passing from death to life. That's powerful. We can know it. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Whoa! Notice there's no middle ground. You're either loving your brother or you're abiding in death. Okay. Let's go to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. The next thing that godliness will work in us to be, for godliness to be profitable, it will produce in you a pure heart. What does God look for when He chooses to work with people? He looks to their heart, right? When He wanted a king, He didn't look at the king's height. He didn't look at the king's physique. He looked at the king's heart. Look at the king's heart. First king He chose didn't work out so well, Saul. But then there was another king who was in the background, who was hidden. And that king's name was David. And David was described as having a heart after God. Even though he made mistakes, even though he messed up, how can you have a heart for God when you mess up? Because David was quick to repent. When a fault was pointed out to him, he repented. Whereas other people, when a fault was pointed out to them, they got more proud. Psalm 24, verses 4 through 6. He that has clean hands and a what? Pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. How many want the blessing of the Lord? Okay. Well, it has to have pure heart and a truth-telling mouth. You need a pure heart. How does our heart get pure? I'm so glad you asked that question. Let's find out how our heart is pure. Go with me to Acts 15:9. Acts 15:9. Now, this is really deep. Okay, it's not really deep, but I'm just saying that. But you know what? When we find out the Bible is so simple, we say, it can't be that easy. It's just got to be. We're trained to be harder. You know, something this good can't be that easy. I'll never forget a story that Brother Hagin told. He went to a place that had never had ice cream before. And so he had some containers of ice cream, and he brought them to this. It was like it was an island somewhere in the Pacific. And he brought this ice cream. They had never had ice cream. And the person tasted this ice cream, took one lick of it, and threw it on the ground. They said, anything that good can't be of God. But sometimes we think that when the Bible shows something that's so easy, we think it can't be that easy. Let me tell you something. It can be that easy. Acts 15:9. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by what? You mean that if you have faith in Jesus Christ, your heart gets purified? Yes. Your heart is purified by putting faith in Jesus. Why? When you put your trust in Jesus, His purity rubs off on you. You get an overflow of His purity, and it comes on you, and it cleans all the junk out. And God's word is like Drano, right? The more Drano you put in, the more clogs get loosed, right? So our hearts are purified by faith. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Whew, this is good stuff. This is good teaching. This will make a body strong. 2 Timothy 2:22. It says this. Flee youthful lusts. Young people, when you encounter a lust or a strong desire for something you shouldn't have, flee. What does that mean? Run. It means get the heck out of there. Flee youthful lusts. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Guess what? Your heart can be purified when you call on God. What did David say? Create in me a clean heart. What did God do? He created in him a clean heart. When Peter caught the great catch of fish in one of the Gospels, not Luke, but the other, I forget what Gospel it was, he fell down. He said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Guess what? Jesus didn't depart, did he? He took that sinful man and he gave him a new nature. And he used Peter in his kingdom. He used a man who was sinful, because when you come to Jesus, he wipes all the sin away. So our hearts are purified by faith. Hearts are purified when we call on God. And one more, 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 1:22. I feel like an officer. 1 Peter 1:22. Do I hear a John 3:16? Do I hear a 2 Peter 3:16? I don't know where that came from. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. How did our hearts get purified? Through obeying the truth. So our hearts get purified by having faith in God, our hearts are purified by calling on the Lord, and our hearts are purified by obeying the truth. Do you realize when lepers came to Jesus, he would tell them that they're cleansed? And he would say, go show the priest as evidence of your cleansing. But he said, guess what? You are cleansed by a word. You're sanctified by the truth. My word is truth. All God has to do is speak his word, and it will go in and it will cleanse you. Washing by the water of the word. Ephesians 5, talking about husbands and wives, he washes them with the water of the word. Regeneration, cleansing. God makes you squeaky clean. You're squeaky clean. So then he says, love one another with a pure heart fervently. Once you know that your heart's been purified, then go at it with all your gusto. Go at it with all your effort, right? This is a powerful quote. I don't know this person. It's the name of the person is Zach Poonin. He said this: it is one thing to be accepted by God. It's quite another thing to be approved by God. Whoa, that was good. Yeah, Jesus just preached the gospel of love and acceptance. No, he didn't. He preached the gospel of love and repentance. First message Jesus preached, repentance. First message Peter preached, repentance. First message John preached, repentance. First message Paul preached, repentance. Must be something to that. Four famous great preachers all preach the same first message. Aren't you glad that God has enabled us to repent? If you came in here tonight not feeling godly, you can leave godly. You can leave changed. You can leave cleansed. You can leave refreshed. You can leave burden free. You can leave carefree. But you got to choose to leave your cares here tonight. Don't take them with you. Check your cares in at the baggage counter, and it's guaranteed, your luggage is guaranteed to be lost. Or you will never find it again. Amen? Let me just read to you some characteristics of godliness just for a quick 30 seconds, okay? Godliness seeks to find God with all of his heart, soul. He turns to God and obeys God's voice. These are all scriptures. I'll give you the scriptures, but just not right now. Godliness praises the Lord with their whole heart. He tells of all his marvelous works. A godly person is always talking about Jesus. Look what Jesus did. Look what the Lord has done. Woo! He healed my body. He touched my mind. He changed me all the time. I forget how the song goes. But look what the Lord has done. The Lord has done great things. A godly person will always talk about the great things that God is doing, and they'll never talk about what the devil's doing. I don't care what the devil's doing. Who cares what the devil's doing? Who cares what a loser that's been kicked out of heaven is doing? Who cares what the father of lies is saying? They're lies. They can't help you. They'll hurt you. I care about what Jesus is saying. I care about what Almighty God is saying. Godliness, a godly person waits on God all day for him to lead him in his truth and to be taught by him. Godliness is profitable for your healing. Godliness is profitable for your deliverance. Godliness is profitable for your pocketbook. Godliness is profitable in your relationships so you don't do things wrong and end up with disease or a broken heart. Godliness is a shield about you. It's God's protection mechanism. It's like the spacesuit that the astronaut wears to walk on moon. He can go into the moon atmosphere because he's got a spacesuit. He's protected. He's covered. He's sustained. Godliness will sustain you. Godliness will protect you. Godliness will deliver you. Godliness will set you free. When you're godly, you cannot be held down. It's time for us to stand up for God and to be who He called us to be. God did not call you to be defeated. God did not call you to be broke. God did not call you to be without purpose. God did not call you to be wondering about what your future is. He will show you. God did not call you to be sick. He can heal you. God called you for greatness. He's got great things in store for you. And you just got to tap into that. You just got to believe it. You just got to receive it. Who wants to come up to a higher level tonight? And go deeper with God. Why don't we stand up? And I want you just to begin to praise God. Forget about who's around you. And if in your praise, if you feel prompted to come up, because the Holy Ghost is saying, go up. When the Holy Ghost says, go up, He's got something for you. So, if you feel impressed to come up and receive what God has for you, then come. But I want you to praise Him for a moment. Young people, praise Him. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes off anything else. There'll be no distraction here for just a few moments. And call upon God. And praise Him. Praise Him like Paul and Silas praised Him in the prison. Praise Him like David praised Him watching over this. And let God, let the Holy Ghost sweep over you with His power, with His glory, with His love. With His ability, with His grace, He covers you. He forgives you. He sets you free. Now, Christ has forgiven you, now forgive yourself. If God says you're forgiven, then you're forgiven. Accept it, believe it, it's the truth. You don't have to earn your Father's love. You just have to believe that your Father loves you. He loves you. Anything, any harm in your life can be reversed. Anything that the devil tried to do to you, you can overcome it. You can come out of the pit just like Joseph came out of the pit. You can come out of the prison like Peter came out of the prison. You can be free from leprosy like David was made free.
Seek your face, oh God, as we come. Oh God, let us be.
Godliness is profitable for all things.
Seek your face, oh God, as we come.
Now, whoever. If you just feel led to come up here, because God's telling you God's got something for you, then come up here.
Give us clean hands, give us pure heart, and let us lift our souls to the Lord. Oh God, let us be generation that sees.
Your face, oh God, of Jacob. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, just deliver that cup from heaven that you need, Lord, right now. Let your power be released. and break every yoke in Jesus' name. Break every yoke and remove every burden in Jesus' name.
Seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks.